there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Drew Henderson, the director of the newest show for the Morehead Theater Guild, playing this week, called 110 Stories, and also Mike Dobransky, one of the show's actors. Thank you both so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Leanne. Great to be here.
Now, the show 110 Stories is playing this week only. It opens Thursday, and we'll have a show each night at 7:30, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then 2 p.m. on Sunday, there's a matinee. The show is a memorial show to the events in New York City on 9/11, which we're coming up on the 20th anniversary of this weekend. So, Drew, tell me a little bit about what drew you to the show and why you thought it was important to do.
Well, this was actually brought to the Theater Guild by Roger Fisher back, I think, earlier in the spring. He thought it was important to commemorate the event, to remind everybody about it, and to learn more about the stories of the people who were there and nearby. And everyone just kind of jumped on board with it. We all thought it was a wonderful play and a very important thing to do at this particular time.
Can you tell me a little bit about what the audience is going to experience? I mean, I know this is not a typical play, like you come in and there's one big storyline that goes from point A to point B. But all of the action that takes place obviously surrounds the event of 9/11. So what are people going to experience?
The way we're doing this, it's almost like we're observing a support group. The people are stepping forward and telling a portion of their story. So it's not a real time, here's what the firefighter is doing at this particular time and with the set and everything. This is more like the people coming forward and remembering what they experienced. And it includes firefighters and other people who were in the buildings as they were collapsing, people who were nearby, and people who were close by but at a little bit of a distance, including volunteers, homeless people who were there at the time. The first act of the show is the experiences of the characters in the events leading up to the collapse of the two towers. It kind of starts with the impact of the planes on the buildings, some of the firefighters getting reports of, you know, we're getting ready to go, from people nearby who saw the impact, and people who a little bit farther distance away who saw the impact or heard it. And it's about their experiences leading up to the collapse of both towers. Some of the people are particularly the firefighters and Port Authority engineer, and some others are relaying their experiences being in the buildings shortly before their collapse. Some of the other people are nearby who observed not only the impact of the planes, but also the collapse of the two towers. And then we move into the second act, and it's about the recovery effort, their experiences with that, including nurses and doctors and firefighters, construction workers, and everything they went through and experienced, not only the difficulties due to the dust and the heat and everything, but also the emotional impact of searching for survivors and ultimately really not finding anybody, and the grief and the challenge from that.
Like you were saying, it's not just one story, and some of the actors portray multiple characters on stage. I know that the actors are on stage the entire time. Mike, tell me a little bit about your character and who it is that you're portraying.
Well, so my character's name is Don Casey, and he is, or at least was at the time, a firefighter for FDNY. And his house was in the firehouse was in South Manhattan. So, you know, they were one of the first crews that, that were on the scene. And so in the first act, it is about approaching the towers, starting to make the ascent up the towers to try to help get people out. Some of the coincidences that happened that that ultimately led this firefighter to surviving and getting out perhaps within minutes of when the North Tower collapsed. And the second act for him is dealing with some of that survivor's guilt. You know, what were the things that that he could have done different to help some of the other firefighters that were in his company survive? You know, what part did he play in how this ultimately came out? Because, you know, the firehouse that that he was in lost a large number of people in the attempt to help to rescue the folks that were in the towers.
It's interesting to me that, you know, some of the adults that are like walking around campus here at Morehead State University were not alive when this happened there, or were very small children who have no memory of the actual event, who of course know what it was, what happened, but have no firsthand knowledge of that. It's difficult for me to reconcile the fact that it's been 20 years since this event took place. When you're approaching the content of the show, you know, is that in your head at all? Or is that, I mean, I'm not sure when the show was originally written or produced, but I would imagine around an anniversary.
It was originally written, I think, in 2012. So 11 years after, I think, was when it was completed and first produced. We've had some conversations about, you know, some of the younger actors and actresses not really being old enough to have remembered what was going on. But all of them, you know, the people who remembered and the people who didn't, all of them have approached this with such dignity and respect for what all the characters actually went through. And some of the most touching performances are by some of the younger actors. So it is interesting that you have that difference of experience between everybody.
Drew, is there a particular one of the stories that resonates most with you? Could you share a little bit about it?
Oh, probably. I mean, they're all so wonderful, and everyone's doing such a wonderful job. I think the three stories that have the most emotional impact. One is Mike's character, because he's obviously kind of a, even though he's not an officer in the fire department, he's been around enough that the guys kind of look to him for guidance and advice. And everything that he's been through and everything he's lost, there's not only the survivor's guilt, but I think PTSD, and that comes through is his struggles in the second act. And it has really made me stop and think exactly what this guy has gone through and how devastating it's been and how it's going to impact him for the rest of his life. Another character is Michelle Wild Williams, who was a volunteer. And there's one particular scene that is just, it's such a gut punch of emotion when she realizes and expresses there's not going to be any survivors. And she's there trying to help all these people, the firefighters, the policemen, the construction workers, to do whatever she can to help support them while they conduct the search and the recovery operation. The other one with the major gut punch is Father Bob Deming and the stuff he experienced. He was there to help in whatever way he can, and a lot of that was to provide prayers over the bodies that were brought out, and supporting particularly those firefighters and policemen who were bringing out finding colleagues that had been killed in the collapse. But there's so many other stories that don't quite have the same emotional impact, but to learn about them has been just phenomenal. Like the stories of some of the homeless people and what they did, I had no idea. And I think for me, that's one of the things that this play is bringing out. For me, learning about the experience of some of the people that I had never heard before. Everything has been, focused and to a large extent, rightly so, about the first responders and their experiences and their losses. But to see it from other perspectives of people nearby and what they did and what they experienced has really been enlightening for me.
And then, Mike, I mean, I know where you're working with your own character. Is there another character that's one of those or one of the other characters that stands out for you?
Yes. So I think the Father John Deming character is a, definitely a big one for me. But I'll tell you what probably affects me most in getting into this play. It's a reminder that, in the immediate aftermath of tragedies, big and small, that we often have that immediate reaction and get in and want to help people. But I think one of the big picture items out of this for me is how quickly sometimes that desire is satisfied and the tragedy fades away, and the long-term effects on the people that were involved goes on for quite a while, maybe for the rest of their lives. I think about things like, there's it's touched on a couple of several times throughout the second act, and there is one scene that really focuses on it. But just the health damage that was done to the workers at the pile, iron workers, firefighters that were there helping to dig, police officers that were there in the dig, and other volunteers, and how they have been affected long term, and how quickly, well, people in general, but a lot oftentimes our leadership just forgets, that you have to help these people throughout all of the effects of these tragedies. And it's not just something huge like this. It can be small tragedies that affect one family or a few families. We need to be thinking about these people longer.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
The MSU School of Art and Design faculty exhibition is now on display in the Golden Yang Art Gallery of the Claypool Young Art Building at Morehead State University. On display through September 17th, the exhibit features work by full-time, adjunct, and emeritus faculty. Free and open to the public weekdays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Face coverings are required. Additional information at morehedstate.edu/art.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Mike Dobransky and Drew Henderson, who are involved with the Morehead Theater Guild's most recent play, 110 Stories, that's playing this weekend at the Round County Arts Center. Shows are Thursday, Friday, Saturday night at 7:30, and again at 2 p.m. on Sunday. The show is a memorial to the events that happened in New York City during 9/11. There are still some tickets available, so if you want to grab those before they're gone, you can do that at Morehead Theater. .org. That's the best way to get those tickets. Now, one of the things that I think a lot of people experienced, at least it was my experience, and I feel like we're experiencing it now as well, many of us, in the face of the tragedy of 9/11, in the face of the current tragedy that is the COVID-19 pandemic, there was really the majority of us, there's nothing we can do. It's a lot of watching and waiting and hoping that you can be a positive part of the recovery process. But is there any of that in the show? Or are most of the characters like active participants in the aftermath? Or is there anything that addresses that I'm a survivor of this event, but maybe there's not a lot I can do?
For some of them, yes. Some of them were witnesses from a distance. There's one woman, her and her partner saw it from a distance. They were close enough to the buildings that during the collapse, the smoke and the dust and the debris kind of engulfed their area. So they're trying to escape that. So they were a little bit of a distance. Another firefighter who was off on that day saw it at a larger distance. He was spending time with his daughter, teaching her how to ride a bicycle. And so there are a few people in there who were not involved in the recovery effort, wasn't real close to what was going on. One of the heartbreaking stories is about a mother, again, some distance away, who is trying to find her child. She goes to the school to pick him up, and he's not there. Somebody else has already picked him up for her, and just searching and in agony over, where's my child? Is he okay? And intellectually, she understands, yes, he's okay, but emotionally, she needs to see him, to hold him, to hug him, to have that contact with him before it's really going to be real to her that her son is okay. But other than that, it really doesn't go into the details of the world, the country at a distance, observing all this going on. And other than, you know, sending money and supplies, there's really nothing that we can do. This is all about relating the stories of those who were either in it or nearby and their reactions and experiences to what happened.
Well, I would also add that there are several characters in there who did come from distances with specialized skills or equipment that they did bring to the scene. So there's a character from Texas, and there's a dog handler who was from Colorado but happened to be in New England at the time of the attack. So there are several people that were able to lend their special skills to the situation.
Most people that I know, even children, are introduced to the event as it happened in the same way that we were introduced as children to, like, Pearl Harbor and things like that. But the show particularly is not recommended for children under 12.
There's some strong language in it, not horribly strong, but in the context of what these people were experienced, I think it's appropriate language. But some of the images that are portrayed by the characters of what they saw and what they experienced, some are pretty graphic, and I think had to be to really convey the horror of what these people experienced in dealing with the recovery effort and seeing the immediate aftermath of the impacts even before the towers collapsed. So there are some pretty graphic discussions that take place during this play, and we know a lot of kids can handle it, but some can't. It would just be too much and too overwhelming.
Now, one of the other requirements to attend the show, other than purchasing a ticket, is masks are required to attend the performance. I've seen some photos from rehearsals. All the actors are masked. And obviously, because we're trying to do live theater in the middle of a pandemic, but working in a mask has to be another difficult hindrance for the actors. I mean, we've had some time to practice living in a mask because the pandemic has been going on for a while now. But being on stage in a mask is kind of a different animal altogether. Mike, do you want to talk a little bit about what you've done to overcome that?
Well, Leanne, I guess in my situation, like a couple of the other actors in the show, you know, we've had practice in our classes wearing masks for the last year and a half, right, and teaching class. But, you know, this has been a process of determining, you know, what type of masks would work best so that the actors can all be understood as clearly as possible. I think one of the things that we were, fortunate is probably not the correct word, but, you know, based on the whole situation that's going on in this play, masks are not really that inappropriate for a show like this. And so, you know, we're all going to be wearing the same type of, I guess those paper and fiber based disposable masks, which seem to be working pretty well. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, we're getting used to being able to breathe properly in them and speak clearly. And so it's, yeah, it has taken some getting used to, but it's working.
It was one of our concerns early on when we realized that it was going to be necessary to do this with masks on. Could the emotions be conveyed well? And the first rehearsal we did with everybody masked, it was just astounding how well this talented group of people could convey the emotions, even though you can't see half of their face. It really comes across in their body language, in their eyes, and in how they do their lines. It's really wonderful to see. And for me, it was also somewhat a reminder of what the recovery people dealt with in digging through the rubble and everything and being masked up all day long for days and days and days while working in New York City in early September in a pit that was still burning. And so this isn't quite so bad. They went through a whole lot worse than just having to sit around in a mask. So.
And tickets for 110 Stories with the Moorhead Theater Guild are still available. The show is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday this week at 7:30 p.m. each night, 2 p.m. again on Sunday down at the Rowan County Arts Center. Tickets are available online at moorheadtheater.org. Mike Dobransky and Drew Henderson with Moorhead Theater Guild, thank you both so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Leanne.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.